Hello and welcome to a Good Shepherd Podcast. I am Chris Shepherd, and I will be your humble host, your guide through these trying times, your light in the darkness that is Colts fandom. Let me be the first to welcome you into the congregation of the brothers and sisters of the one true Colt. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Stay with me as I preach from the holy book of the Colts. Please join hands as together we will witness the work of the Trinity that is the owner, the GM, and the head coach. We can never forget that Andrew Luck died so that Carson Wentz might live. So have a seat, settle in, and get ready for me to take you to church. Welcome. Thank you, brothers and sisters of the Colts, for joining me here today. We have a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to waste any time. Let's get right into it. We're going to take a look at a message from the Old Testament today, so please turn in your holy book of the Colts to Mora chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. That's Jim Mora chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. For it was at this moment that the reporter asked what he believed was an innocent question about the 4-6 Indianapolis Colts' chances of making the playoffs when Coach Mora replied, "What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game." Now, what's amazing is that those words were said all those years ago in the Old Testament. As far as this podcast is concerned, there is no recorded history before 1998. 1998 is the beginning of this podcast version of history, of the Holy Book of the Colts begins in 1998. Pre-1998, very sorry, we're not going to get into it, but the legends say that there was some guy that would go on to be a football coach in San Francisco, in Michigan. That's a legend. It's not recorded. Recorded history begins in 1998 when the Colts drafted Peyton Manning. And the very first book in the Holy Book of the Colts is Mora. So Mora is the Genesis, if you will. And he said this all the way back in the beginning, and it's still relevant today. Sunday's loss was bad. And even though there's still a possibility, the brothers and sisters of the Colts should probably start to consider lowering our expectations. If the playoffs happen, that's great, but we can't lose all hope in the team moving forward if they don't. There are a lot of reasons that we can't just lose all hope in the team. But just know that the future isn't as bad as you might think it is if they do miss the playoffs. I hate it. It's not a lot of fun to sit back and watch as everybody else gets to go play in the playoffs and has a chance to get hot and win it all. But the fact of the matter is that this year the Colts have sat back. They've evaluated a lot of talent. They need help. Get this. They need help at left tackle. They need help at pass rush. They need help at cornerback. If you want to make the argument that they may need more help at quarterback, you can make that argument. I'm not saying that I agree with that, and we're going to talk about Carson Wentz here in a little bit, but the fact of the matter is that the Colts have a lot of talent on the team, but they need help at the four most important positions, the four most difficult positions to fill. So the fact of the matter is, a talented team without a superstar quarterback, or without a quality starting left tackle, without a quality number one cornerback, or without any semblance of a consistent pass rush, you're going to struggle. You are. They're going to have some struggles. Now, is the team good enough to overcome it? In some instances, it could be. Unfortunately, it hasn't. That hasn't been the case so far. But just know that we have a lot of talent. And despite the loss, despite the fact that the final score wasn't great, the Colts played pretty well most of the day. There were a couple of really dumb mistakes. But the fact of the matter is that there is hope there. There's hope in that they played well. They deserved to win the game, which makes it hurt worse. But at the same time, there's hope in that they can play with and beat anyone if they just eliminate those dumb mistakes. And they are still missing that superstar quarterback. They're still missing a franchise left tackle, a franchise corner, and they're still missing a pass rush. So even though they're missing all those things, they could have won the game against a team that is most likely going to win the AFC South. And before Derrick Henry got hurt, they were a serious contender in the AFC. They blew out the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. The Titans are a legitimate contender. And the Colts took them to overtime and lost by a field goal because of two really dumb plays. And it sucks, but there's hope there. There's hope. And just so you know, here in the house of the Colt, you can say sucks. Maybe not in your church service, but this one's better, so you can say it here. Now, initially, following the game, I was frustrated with Frank Reich's play calling. But after I went back through and I really looked at everything, Reich called a pretty good game. In his post-game press conference, he talked about the fact that there were six additional called runs. And those runs were checked out of at the line of scrimmage just due to the look that the defense gave before the snap. Now, I would have liked Jonathan Taylor to get the ball in his hands more in the second half, but Wentz had the opportunity to check the ball down to him, and instead he forced it into coverage multiple times. And that does, unfortunately, bring me to my next point. Carson Wentz was bad. Now, I know, but listen, when he's been even close to healthy, he's played well enough to win all season long, except for last week. But he's still on pace to throw for almost 4,100 yards, 30 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. I know those stats don't tell the whole story, and frankly, he should be on pace to throw for more than 6 interceptions. The 49ers game, it was like he was trying to give the ball away. And I'm not trying to. I'm really not trying to convince you that Carson Wentz is this franchise's savior, because I don't think that he is. And I know that that might be surprising, given the fact that we are in the house of the Colt. You're sitting in a service dedicated to Colts fandom, and I'm telling you that I don't believe Carson Wentz is the savior. Carson Wentz is not the savior, but he is a prophet. I believe that he is this franchise's Alex Smith, but he's an aggressive, exciting version of Alex Smith. If the team around him is perfect, I think that Wentz can get you to the promised land. And I think that he's going to win a lot of games and be in place as his team's starting quarterback until Chris Ballard brings in the true savior of the Indianapolis Colts. The guy who, even if the team around him isn't perfect, can still get you to the promised land. But the fact of the matter is that that guy is incredibly difficult to find. It's not easy. It's not easy to get up there. And unless you're sure, unless you're positive, taking an early first round quarterback, if you miss on that guy, you're setting the franchise back at least 5, maybe 10 years. And this roster is pretty good. They have a lot of holes, like we talked about. But as a whole, at a lot of positions, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of good players. There are probably 3 guys right now that are on a Hall of Fame path. And that's not including Jonathan Taylor, who, man, it's really early. It's really, really early. But if he keeps it up and he keeps playing the way that he has and he's able to stay healthy, I think Jonathan Taylor would make the list of Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner. I think that if he keeps this up, you're going to add him to that list. You've got 4 Hall of Famers on the team right now. So until you can find the Colts version of Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have to try to win with Alex Smith. And I know that that sucks. It sucks to sit back and to say, well, we've got this quarterback who sometimes he looks good, sometimes he throws, you know, two interceptions in the final minutes of the game when he had checkdown options, and he's trying to play hero ball. And what was the decision in the end zone? Why wouldn't he just throw that ball away? Why did he throw it up like that? So it sucks that that might be something that we have to live and die with. Now, I will say that I do believe that Frank Reich has him playing the best ball of his career. And I do believe that as he continues to grow in the offense, as he continues to get used to his teammates around him, and he gets more and more coaching from Wentz, that from Reich, I believe that he's going to be able to cut down on some of those bad mistakes more. But at the end of the day, we've seen enough from Carson Wentz from his time in Philadelphia and now his time in Indianapolis. Sometimes he's going to make bad decisions. He's going to turn the ball over in frustrating ways. And that's really hard to watch. But it is something we're going to have to live with. And it's something that we're going to have to fight through. Today there was a report I saw. It wasn't even really a report. It came from, oh God, what's his name? The blowhard, Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd said that the Indianapolis Colts staff and front office was split over Carson Wentz. Number one, I don't believe Colin Cowherd knows anything about the inside of the Indianapolis Colts' office workings. I don't believe it. He's a liar. I don't believe that he knows a single thing. I think that if he's talked to Chris Ballard or to Jim Irsay or to anyone, I think that he's gotten some answers to questions that he's asked, and he's taken those answers, he's twisted them into an attention-grabbing headline so that he can stay relevant for another week. And that's not to say that he has any risk of being irrelevant, but I am telling you that that's how people like Colin Cowherd stay relevant for so long, is that they keep saying ridiculous things with very little basis. There's no way. Here's why it doesn't make sense that the Indianapolis Colts front office is split on Carson Wentz. If they were split on Carson Wentz, it's week 8 headed into week 9. What are they going to do right now? What are they going to do? They're not completely out of the playoff picture. If they tank, which I think some people want them to do, if they tank, there are going to be people who lose their job. And a lot of them are going to be in the front office. So you want to tell me that there are people in the front office that want to sit Carson Wentz down knowing that if they play a sixth round rookie, that he's going to lose them a lot of football games, but oh, it's okay because Carson Wentz will sit down, he won't play the right number of snaps, and the Colts will hold on to that first round pick. That's great, but there's a chance you're getting fired, so you're not going to be the one that gets to make that first round pick anyway. So what are you sitting Carson Wentz down for? He gives you the best chance to win right now. If you're talking about in the future, yeah, sure, but there's nobody in the Colts front office who's sitting there having knockdown dragouts or having major blowups and disagreements about a roster move that may or may not take place in February or in March of 2022. That's just not happening. If anything, they're having discussions about it. Frank Reich standing up for his player. The front office is evaluating the team. That's not a report. That's a normal Monday for every NFL team, not just the Colts, not just if you have a quarterback that you're not sure on. That's everywhere. Colin Cowherd is a liar. And you're hearing it from me, and I will take it to the grave. He does not know what he's talking about. I've said a lot about Carson Wentz. I've compared him to Alex Smith, and I've said that he's not the savior, and I mean that. So what am I saying about Carson Wentz exactly? I'm saying that right now, I'm not expecting anyone to be sold on Carson Wentz, but given the entirety of the circumstances, the fact that it's week 8, he gives us the best chance to win, a hard reset doesn't make any sense for the franchise. I'm not going to get into that today, because that's a whole other can of worms. But a hard reset doesn't make any sense. And even though I'm not saying you should be sold on Wentz, I am saying it's too early to sell on Wentz. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Now, I know you guys are invested in this message, and I don't want to stop that momentum, but we've got to take a little break to hear about some things that, well, they'll change your life if you listen to the ad and do what it says. I can't really make that promise, but I just kind of did. So here's some ads. And we're back. Where were we? You can't sell on Wentz yet. The Colts are in a rough spot at 3-5, but they're headed into a short week. They play the Jets on Thursday Night Football, and this is a real chance for the Colts to get right against an opponent who's 2-5. Now, I know that's big talk for a team that's 3-5. But the Jets are a different kind of bad. They are coming off of a big upset of the Bengals. They played a good game, and their quarterback, Mike White, he looks good. He does. I watched Jets film today, and the guy played pretty well, all things considered. He took a lot of checkdowns. He took what the defense gave him. He did make some throws downfield that were on target. The guy has a strong arm. There were quite a few passes, actually, that were good balls that the receivers just dropped that were downfield. So that hurt his passing average some, too. So I've seen different people say things about his yards per attempt. And his yards per attempt were hurt because, well, his receivers dropped some passes and he was taking what the defense gave him. The guy played well. Having said that, the Bengals should have beat the Jets on Sunday. The Colts should beat the Jets on Thursday. So the Colts do have a chance to turn this one around, to go out and to get to 4-5. Then headed into week 10, the Colts will play the Jaguars on a long week. And the Jaguars are another bad team. Frankly, the biggest concern I have for that game is for the city of Indianapolis to keep Urban Meyer away from the girls' dorms at Butler. If we could just make sure that we do that, that would be great. The best news about these next two games, other than the fact that the two teams suck, is that they're happening right there at home in Lucas Oil Stadium. Can I get an amen? All right. Now, I'm not going to pretend that the schedule is going to get any easier after that, because it doesn't. But there's a very real chance that the team pulls to 500. It should. They should win. They should win both of those games. They should be at 500 right before they enter what is a tough stretch in the back half of the schedule. But if a couple things bounce their way, these Colts, even with what we saw last weekend, they could get on a roll. So yeah, there is some reason for hope, even for this season. I'm not saying that there's a lot of reason for hope, but I am saying that there is some reason for hope. It's not going to be the runaway AFC South championship like we frankly got used to. Remember that Old Testament that I was talking about? Old Testament, New Testament line. It is right at 2012. So pre-2011, 2011 got pretty dark there. The Old Testament was mostly good times, with a dark end. But in, pre-2011, back to, really 99, There were a lot of good times and a lot of runaway AFC East. Well, there was one, I believe, one AFC East title before the AFC South came into play. Regardless, there were a lot of runaway AFC South wins. And that's just not going to be the case this year. The Titans would have to lose. The Titans would have to only win two games. And I know they lost Derrick Henry, but if you look at their schedule, they're going to win more than two games without Derrick Henry. They could lose, or they could win more than two games without Derrick Henry and without Ryan Tannehill. It's just going to happen, regardless of what the Colts do. That they would have to win two games and no more. And that's just, they're going to win at least three games for sure. I have no doubt about that. So the AFC South probably, we're not mathematically eliminated, but probably it's not going to happen. So we're at this point, the team's playing for a wild card bid, and it's just not realistic. But with that said, if they get on a roll, you never know. You never know what could happen, and they could get in. So it would be good to hold out some kind of hope for that, to hope for, you know, some positive things to happen. And you know, there is a way that this team could get to 10 wins. Again, that's not likely, but it's possible. It's possible that if they get on a roll, they could do that. I don't know that 10 wins gets you in the playoffs this year. It didn't last year for all the 10-win teams, and they've added another game this year. So it could be even tougher. But there is some hope that the Colts can have a winning season this year. Now, brothers and sisters of the Colt, I do hope, or the hope in this team is that we need to hold on to the hope for the team. We don't need to hold on for the season. We don't need to hold on for the team. The season's going to happen. The team is who they are, whether we're hopeful in them or not. We need to hold out that hope in the team for each other. And I know that might sound a little hokey, but in the hours and days that follow the game, I saw a lot of Colts fans tear each other down over stupid, petty disagreements. Right now, the fan base is divided. And as much as it doesn't necessarily matter to the team on the field, it's doing us no good as fans to sit here and fight with each other when the team's losing. The team's losing, and if they just won, things would probably be all better. We wouldn't be having these arguments. I don't have a magic wand. I can't fix all the disagreements. I wish I could, but when I went to Walmart to pick one up, they told me there was a supply chain issue. Can you believe that? Okay, all right, sorry. Now, I don't know everything, but I do know that in every single argument I've seen between Colts fans, it's had some aspect of dumb in it. Every single one of them. There are a lot of fingers pointing in a lot of different places, and some of them are more valid than others, but not one of them has been completely right. So just know the next time that you think about calling another member of the Colts congregation dumb, just remember, you probably are too. All right, so that's going to wrap up this edition of a Good Shepherd podcast. I want to thank you guys for coming out. I hope that you guys will join the flock and become a permanent member of the congregation of the one true Colt. In the next service, we're going to be covering a New Testament passage out of the book of Ballard, and you're not going to want to miss it. Jesus told his followers to go be fishers of men. Well, I say to you, let us go out and upgrade Eric Fisher. DJ, play us out.